OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that bald spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now, what should you do if a member of your club contracts COVID-19? I'm delighted to say Dr. Kevin Moran, who's a member of the GAA COVID Advisory Committee and a long-standing medic in the GAA community, is with us. Kevin, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Look, I guess this is kind of a public information piece as much as anything that we're trying to establish here. We've seen a case emerge in Kilkenny, and a lot of people will, over the next while, as the COVID officers kind of come to the fore, learn what to do in this instance. What is the general guidelines if somebody in your club tests positive?
Yeah, clearly, Gerard, I can't comment on an individual case, but I can give you in general terms the guidelines given by the GAA to the clubs. And to put it in context, I suppose the philosophy of the GAA from the very beginning of the pandemic has been that the health and safety of all players, their extended families, and the wider community is of paramount importance. And this is reflected in the guidelines that have been issued in the e-learning module that all players and managers and people involved must complete, and also the medical questionnaire. And in particular, it's emphasised for players that there is a risk, but that they must carefully balance on an individual basis that risk against the benefits of being involved. And in particular, it's specified that they must understand the risks involved, that they are participating on a voluntary basis, and that they can opt out at any time. So against that background, I suppose two scenarios can emerge, Ger. We're talking about the aftermath of a training session for a club or of a game for a club involving another club. A player can test positive. Now, in that situation, the club, that team ceases all activity. Public health will already have been informed, and public health will then determine what happens, the appropriate management of everybody involved in that team. That's players, management, etc. The COVID supervisor for that club will also be informed. Also, the other team will be informed that a player has tested positive. They will also cease all activity, and that means they will socially isolate. They won't be able to go to work, which is fairly significant implications for them. They will then await public health, who will do a risk assessment of that team and decide what exactly needs to be done there if they need to be tested, or who would be regarded as a close contact and needs to be tested.
Okay, so that's the contact tracing of that. That will be done by the public health authorities.
Public health, yeah, correct. And the GAA don't, you know, that is the territory of public health, and the GAA will abide fully by all public health guidelines.
Okay, so can we just tease that out a little bit? Because I think that's going to be new news to a lot of people. So I'm playing for my team against your team, and I test positive 2 days after we play a match. Both clubs will immediately cease all activity until public health come in. And at that point, public health might allow one of the clubs to re-establish activity if they realise, or if they establish, or what are the potential outcomes? I suppose is a better way of phrasing that.
Yeah, as of now, you see, they've been trying to differentiate between close and casual contacts. In the close contact situation, the general advice would be that everything ceases for it. If somebody who has been a close contact of somebody diagnosed with COVID ceases all activities for 2 weeks and socially isolates. Now, in the context of a team sport on a pitch where there is no indoor involvement, No dressing room involvement, where all the guidelines of the GAA are observed. For example, they travel alone, they arrive togged out, they wash their hands on arrival. They've already, they have no symptoms, they've said that. And then they're on the pitch, and the only contact really, the discussion comes up as to when people are quote-unquote in each other's faces or hyperventilating in close proximity to each other. But all the evidence from international epidemiological studies here is that it's difficult or impossible to get the viral load that you require to establish the infection outdoors. So in the context of where players are outdoors, and back to the difficulty again establishing, are these close contacts or casual contacts? And public health will decide that in the eventuality that the situation arises. So,
is it possible?
Sorry, Jerry,
I know it gets
a little bit circuitous and a little bit complicated.
Well, I think that, because I know we have Dr. Aina Falvey on tomorrow, and we've already recorded the piece, but he was saying that in China, one out of 306 clusters have actually been proven to have been from outdoor exposure. So, as you're saying, it's like a very small chance of outdoor exposure. Let's say that public health decides that actually we think in this instance it's very unlikely, you know, not a nil chance, but a very unlikely chance that the opposition club have had any issues. If we're in a championship situation, could they be allowed to continue in the championship, do you think? Or if those games, if their next game is scheduled to be within 14 days, do we know what the likely impact on fixtures would be?
This will be completely out of the hands of the GAA, Ger, in that if the GAA will abide by the public health ruling, if whatever public health determined, then the GAA will go by that. If the public health say, okay, this team, we're not concerned, nobody has had, nobody here has tested positive or nobody has developed symptoms, then they will be free to play.
Okay. And if the public health says, sorry, lads, we think that you're at risk, then they won't be free to play. I suspect this is kind of a games administration question, but will they then not be allowed to continue in the championship if this happens kind of mid-championship? Do they have to forfeit the game? Has that been discussed yet, do you know?
It's not. Well, sorry, it has been discussed by the advisory committee. We're obviously very conscious that this could arise down the road, but the approach taken by the advisory committee is that this is a situation that is evolving, and the committee meets virtually every week, and each arising situation is discussed then. But that is something that inevitably will arise, but frankly, Jerry, hasn't been discussed yet by the advisory committee at any rate.
Okay, so I think that's exactly the right thing to do, is case by case basis, give yourselves as much time as possible, see what the prevalence of it is, and hopefully it doesn't happen. But when it happens, at that point, you've given yourself some time to discuss a range of outcomes.
Yes, that's correct. That is the approach that's been taken.
Okay, so that's the first scenario, somebody testing positive after a game or training.
The second scenario is somebody developing positive symptoms in 48 hours. And this is a little bit more difficult because symptoms can be very, very vague, a cough or just the breath or whatever. But all symptoms, if a player develops symptoms, then they have to be taken very seriously. So what happens in that circumstance is that the player is advised to contact their GP, who will decide if they need to be tested. They cease activity with the club with their team until they socially isolate until such time as they have a positive or negative test. If they have a negative test, then the team, they can return, obviously, and their team can return to training, abiding by all the protocols that are in place. If they have a positive test, then it becomes a public health issue, and that they will be, their further management will be determined by public health, and that their team then, the first scenario outlined kicks into place. Their team then ceases all activity pending advice from public health and risk assessment of the other players in the team, which probably means monitoring day after day for the onset of symptoms and testing in any suspected case. And not alone that, but the other team, or the COVID supervisor of the other team, is also informed, and public health are informed. And then the COVID advisor of the other team is advised to cease activities for at least 48 hours until contacted by public health. The GEA have advised as part of the guidelines, Jared, that the interval between training sessions and games should be at least 48 hours to allow for this eventuality.
Look, it's obviously a very difficult situation where there are numerous different situations that you kind of need to plan for. And, you know, obviously you've done a huge amount of work in this to get to this point where these are the protocols. And as you say, they are evolving. So essentially, if anybody, the other aspect of this, I suppose, is personal responsibility that is absolutely paramount. If anybody does feel like they're developing symptoms, not to hide them, to make sure that they come forward, alert the COVID officer and make sure the public health get involved as soon as possible, because that will limit the exposure and help to deal with it as soon as possible.
I would agree completely, Ger. That is very, very important. And individual responsibility is outlined over and over again in the guidelines, all the way from doing their own strength, doing their own activation, travelling alone, having their own water bottle that's labelled, using the hand sanitizer, observing respiratory hygiene, immediately reporting any of the symptoms, and they all can recite the symptoms off by heart now. And the responsibility they have to themselves, to their own families, to anybody who's vulnerable in their community, and to the members of the other team. And I think there's a collective responsibility. I know from talking to individual players all over the place that this message has got through, and people are taking this very, 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 very seriously, particularly when they see programmes like the aired on television for the last few nights, the absolutely horrific consequences of vulnerable people when they get this infection.
Yeah, and look, I suppose that's the other thing, that's the whole point of a community-based organisation. This isn't the AFL. You can't have 12,000 tests. You can't monitor every single individual's temperature for this. That's the bit where you have to trust people, and people are going to make the decision to opt out because they do have vulnerable family members with underlying comorbidities.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And players, I understand, all over the country have already decided to opt out. Now other players are observing the situation and have decided to opt in as the situation appears to become safer. But I suppose the events of the last few days, again, when you see Leicester being closed down, when the pandemic out of control in the United States, when you see the discussion about travelling restrictions being reintroduced. It's, as I said, this situation is evolving, and players at any time can opt in or opt out, Ger, as they feel, without any consequences for them, because that's emphasised as well, that all players should be supported irrespective of whatever decision they may take themselves.
One last thing, the other NFLV was very strong about outdoor being safe, but indoor, like dressing rooms, being absolutely the perfect scenario for a virus to be spread. So, you know, I'm sure there will be some clubs who accidentally or are tempted to open gyms and all that kind of stuff. The advice is absolutely under no circumstances to do that, I presume, is it?
Oh, yes. The advice is, no, the gyms cannot open until the next 20th of July. And prior to that, the committee will be meeting on at least two occasions. And there are concerns about gyms and dressing rooms being open because of ventilation and because of the quality can vary enormously. Some clubs have really state-of-the-art facilities, and other clubs, the facilities might not be so good and might pose a risk for very, very small dressing rooms with limited space, etc. So this would be a very big decision to be taken in the context of the evolving situation nationally and internationally.
All right, Dr. Kevin Moran, thanks a million for joining us this morning. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.